Father, thank you again for this time where we can come together as the body of Christ and seek the glory of your Son, Jesus, and truly to learn what it means to be given his peace. God, we pray that you would truly teach us this morning through your word and the preaching of your word. May Christ be glorified and honored. We do pray this in Jesus' name. And all those who love Jesus said, amen, amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you today on this absolutely beautiful, cold, winter, don't know what to call it, morning in March. It's always a beautiful reminder to look out of the windows and to see snow that is already gone, but to be reminded in God's creation how God uses things in his creation to remind us of even his redemption, of his making our hearts and our lives as white as snow away from the sin that he has saved us from. Amen? Just a beautiful reminder always of those creative things that he shows us time and time again in creation. This morning as we begin, obviously we are continuing in our study in John chapter 14, and we have made our way to John 14, 27, but as I start this morning, I just want to ask a question. Have you ever paused and taken the time to consider the difference between what the world tries to give you versus what Jesus gives you? I mean, have you ever, like, really stopped to consider the difference between the two? Between what the world tries to give you and what Jesus gives you. You see, there are many things going on in your life right now. Anybody give a testimony to that? Many things going on in your life right now. But this is perhaps one of the greatest things that is happening to you every single day of your life. The world offers and gives to you all kinds of things, right? But Jesus also offers and gives to you all kinds of things as well. But the two are not joined together. They are opposed to each other. The problem that you and I run into is that the world is actually very, very good at making promises to us that its gifts are more satisfying and more fulfilling than what Jesus gives us. So we live every day of our lives in this battle between Jesus and the world. We live in this war where we fight against the temptations and the counterfeit promises of the world in order to receive what Jesus gives instead. This is an all-day long fight every single day of your life between what the world gives and what Jesus gives. Here's another question. Could you recognize and name this morning, right now, two things that the world is trying desperately to give to you versus what Jesus gives to you? Could you name two, just two this morning? You see, at this point in my sermon prep last week, as I wrote that out, even the question, I stopped and I took my own challenge. You see, because sometimes preachers and pastors, man, we can get up here and we can ask you really good questions that we never ask ourselves. You see, that's a great temptation. Teaching ministry and a preaching ministry and pastoring. We've learned to ask our people really good questions without asking them sometimes to our own selves. And so in my sermon prep, I asked this question. I was just typing and I was just thinking like, man, what are two things that are people right now? Can they name two things? Two things, just two, that the world is trying to give to them versus what Jesus is giving to them or what Jesus gives to us. Can they name just two? So I took out an index card. I stopped sermon prep, took out an index card. I wrote down there things that the world are trying to give to me. You know what I discovered in my list, in my short list? First, it took longer than I thought it would take. It took longer for me to think about, seriously think about and consider right now what the world is trying desperately to give me versus what Jesus gives me. That's the first thing that I discovered, that it took longer than I thought. Second, the second thing that I realized and discovered was that there's nothing new under the sun. And it's probably very similar to your list. Could you name two things right now in your life that the world is desperately trying to promise you and give to you? Could you just name two? You see, I would guess that most of us right now, at least right now in this moment, probably could not name two things. Because you know what? It actually takes some thought. It actually takes careful thinking. And actually praying and submitting to the Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us. Maybe right now you are so in tune with this that you know the two things this morning. And I say amen and hallelujah to that, right? But could you at least just name two this morning that the world is desperately trying to captivate you with, to seek your attention, to promise you things versus what Jesus does, right? So let's extend that out. What about your wife? What about your husband? Do you know the two things that are trying to rob him? Do you know the two things that are trying to rob her? Do you know two things right now for that particular son of yours, for that particular daughter of yours, that the world is trying to do desperately everything that they can to captivate them with their promises and give to them versus what Jesus gives to them? I would guess that those things right now might be very difficult. And yet we're in a battle and a war against the world and its promises of peace, joy, happiness, success, and security. Listen, if we don't know what's being offered to us by the world versus what Jesus gives to us, then how in the world can we even resist it? If we have no idea what the world is giving to us and promising to us versus what Jesus does, then how in the world are we ever going to resist the world? How many of you know that there is sanctifying power in knowing these things? There is sanctifying power for you as a child of God to know the difference between these two things. So in John 14 today, Jesus is going to speak about this difference in that in what the world gives to the disciples and what he gives to them. Remember, these disciples, they're shaking in their boots about Jesus leaving them. They are troubled in heart. They are full of fear. And Jesus is going to speak to them about the difference between what the world gives to them and what he gives to them. So let's read it together. If you would, open up your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. And we'll look at this again. Brother Walter read the verse that I'll be dealing with this morning, but I want to read the text again, the context. Let's look at verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let us go from here. I've titled the sermon this morning, what Jesus says, My Peace I Give to You. And our aim this morning, if you have your bulletin, you can look on the back and see that our aim is to realize the difference. To realize the difference in how the world gives versus how Jesus gives peace. And the first thing that we see in verse 27 is Jesus says, My peace I leave with you. So think about this. Out of all the things that Jesus could leave his disciples, right now, in their moment of troubling and in their moment of fear about him leaving, he leaves them what? Say, you can say it. Peace. He leaves them peace. It is peace that Jesus leaves with them. Now think about it. Is this not what the disciples' souls need right now? Their souls crave and need peace right now. Out of all the things that Jesus could have left them, he says, My peace I leave with you. So it begs the question, how does Jesus leave his peace with them? How does Jesus leave his peace with them? In my study, I read and discovered that there is an objective peace and there is a subjective peace that Jesus could be referencing here with his disciples. Now think about this. Think about these two facets of peace here. There's an objective side of peace and there is a subjective side of peace that Jesus could be speaking with his disciples. Objectively, the peace that Jesus leaves them is a peace with God first and foremost, right? A peace with God, first and foremost. Subjectively, it is having peace from God in everyday life. So it's a peace with God, and it's a peace from God that Jesus leaves with them. So we need peace that is objective. Because why? Because we are born not at peace with God, right? We are born not at peace with God. And therefore we live in a hostile state against Him. And in this hostile state, listen to this, in this hostile state, constantly this state of hostility produces unrest, right? It produces unrest. It produces stress. It produces anxiety. It produces restlessness. It produces distrust. It produces fear, trouble, disorder, chaos, rebellion, worry, unbelief. Can't the list go on and on and on? I mean, this is what the hostility, the state of hostility that you and I once lived in, most of us, it produced all these kinds of problems for us. It's no wonder we have commercial after commercial on TV offering up medications after medications to try and help to take away all of the sickness that's brought about by this one thing lacking in people's lives, and that is peace. When a man or a woman does not have peace with God, it will make them sick in all kinds of ways. I just listed maybe 8 or 9 things, 10 things. The list is outrageous of what people feel and what they go through when they don't have rest and peace in their soul with God. And it's no wonder we have commercials after commercials, advertisement after advertisement all over the place, promising, they may not say peace, but this is what they're promising, right? They're promising peace, health. When really the one thing that they're lacking is just peace with God. Listen to this. God created the soul of every human being, right? God created the soul of every human being, and therefore the soul of every human being longs to find its peace in Him. But since the fall of Adam and Eve, the human race has been in a free-for-all spin-out in regards to peace. We live at enmity with God because of our sin, and therefore, objectively, we need first and foremost peace with God. The Scriptures are very clear in how it describes this enmity between us and God. It says that we hate Him. It says that we hate Him. And we demonstrate our hate through our sin and rebellion, and therefore live in a miserable state of unrest before God. God's anger burns against us as sinners, and this is not good for the soul. It's not good for the soul. It's not good for the conscience of mankind. We need to be delivered from God's anger and set free from this miserable state. Amen? We need that. Jesus says that He leaves His disciples peace in the sense that He will be their sin offering before God. He will be their substitutionary atonement before God and give them peace with God. This is the objective peace that Jesus leaves to His disciples. This is objective. This means this is for all of us. All of us fall into this category. We objectively need peace with God. And Jesus says, I leave my peace with you. But there's also a subjective peace that we see in Scripture as well. It is an abiding peace that Jesus will leave for His disciples that will empower them to live godly lives. This peace will empower them to pursue righteousness, to pursue holiness, even in the midst of persecution and suffering. Each disciple will overcome the world and fight to live in Jesus' peace. How many of you have seen this in the book of Acts when we read through the book of Acts together in the month of February? We saw how all of these disciples, many of these disciples who now are apostles because they have been sent out by Jesus into the hostile world and face persecution. They face suffering. They face afflictions of all many kinds and trials and persecutions. These disciples right here in John 14 are shaking in their boots. One day we'll turn the world upside down. And Jesus says to them right now in John 14, I leave you my peace I leave you. So the objective peace must come first, right? How many people seek peace every single day without seeking peace with God first? They want all kinds of things. They seek all kinds of things. And let me just say it honestly. It's not just they. It's me. It's you. This is true. The peace Jesus leaves for His troubled disciples comes through what He will accomplish for them in His death, burial, and resurrection. It is only through the gospel that Jesus leaves them peace objectively and subjectively. So we see that there's two avenues of peace here that are actually joined together. There's an objective peace that we have with God, and there's this subjective peace that we have from God to live out each every day of our lives, no matter what we face, right? So the question now is, how will Jesus transfer and leave this objective and subjective peace with His disciples? Well, look at verse 26. He just said it. Through the Holy Spirit, the Helper that the Father will send in His name. So let me ask you this morning, at this point, sort of where we are in the text and in the sermon, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? Or are you constantly living under the weight and the burden of your sin and hostility toward Him? Do you have peace with God? Do you live under the pressure of His anger that burns against you because you're a sinner, separated from Him, hostile to Him, hating Him, in rebellion to Him in everything that you do? The only way to be set free and to live in peace with God is to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus says to His disciples, I leave you. To receive what Jesus accomplished for you. He paid your debt of sin against God on the cross. Amen. I mean, listen, I know this is a reminder to most of you. What you're hearing right now is a reminder of the gospel. That's why the gospel is not just for lost people. The gospel continues to be for each and every one of us to be reminded constantly of what Jesus has done. So let me say it again. He paid your debt of sin against God on the cross. He removed the wrath of God's anger for you in the cross. He has the power to give you new life and to live in victory over sin because He overcame sin, death, and the grave. Jesus, through His gospel, leaves His disciples peace with God, and He gives them peace from God. That's how we live today. And those of you who have actually considered this, which I would beg is probably most of you, you've actually considered what your life was like without this peace, where you used to be at enmity with God constantly. You are so grateful. You are so blessed in that kind of way to have received His overwhelming peace. Amen. Do you remember those days? Some of you who came to Christ maybe a little bit later on in life, maybe not as a child, you remember those days where you were seeking after so many things and the world was just giving to you. The world was just giving and giving and giving, and you were just taking and taking and taking, and you were just as miserable. Even as much as you were taking, you were getting more and more miserable, weren't you? I love what Jesus says here. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll get there in just a moment. But there is something more specific in regards to this peace that Jesus leaves His disciples. Look at verse 27 again. He says, "My peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." This peace that Jesus is talking about is not some pie in the sky kind of peace. Whose peace is this that He leaves with His disciples? Whose is it? His. Okay? Now this is the part in this verse, one of the parts in this verse that's really awesome. Okay? Whose peace? Jesus says, my peace. It's Jesus' peace. So I want you to consider this morning as well. What kind of peace do you think Jesus has? What kind of peace do you think He has? What kind of peace do you think He, being God, eternally and infinitely possesses? You see, over and over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this. Listen to what Paul said. Romans 1:7. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 1:3. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 1:2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 1:3. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I could continue on in all of Paul's epistles. Do you see the point? All grace, and specifically peace, here are sourced in the Father and Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who gives peace. He gives peace because He is the source of all peace. It is His to give. He is called the Prince of Peace. And Jesus and the Father distribute peace through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." What kind of peace do you think Jesus has? A.W. Pink says, "Jesus was never ruffled by circumstances and never resisted the will of the Father. He was ever in a state of most perfect unity with God the Father. The peace He here promised His disciples was the peace which filled His own heart." What kind of peace do you think Jesus has? What kind of peace do you think He, being God, eternal and infinitely, possesses? Listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote to his church, who, by the way, is one of the men shaking in his boots in John chapter 14. Listen to what Peter wrote a few years later. He's talking about Jesus. Listen to what he says. 1 Peter 2:23. "And while being reviled, Jesus did not revile in return." You're familiar with this verse, aren't you? Now listen to it. "While being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but He kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously." Do you know what the word revile means? The word revile means to heap abuse upon. To heap abuse upon. What did Jesus endure? He was reviled. There was abuse that was heaped upon Him over and over and over. Even in this last week that we're about to come to, where He's going to be handed over to the religious rulers. And they are going to revile Him. They are going to heap abuse upon Him. He is going to suffer during this time as well. And Peter says, although He was reviled, He reviled not. While suffering, He uttered no threats. Could He not have threatened them? Could He not have threatened them and been righteous in the threat? As God manifests in the flesh, He could have poured out His wrath immediately upon these men who were reviling Him and who were bringing suffering upon Him. And Peter says, when He was reviled, He reviled not. When He suffered, He uttered no threat, but He kept on submitting Himself to Him who judges rightly. I can't make it from Oakland to usually about right here without uttering threats to people that I'm driving next to, heading to town. I won't ask for any testimonies. I can't make it that far. We see in Jesus this divine and sufficient and perfect peace. We see it, we believe it, and it is this peace that Jesus says that He gives to His disciples. He gives that same peace to His disciples. The same peace that Jesus had and demonstrated will be the same peace that He gives to His people. The same peace we saw from Jesus early on in John that calmed the sea. The storm in the sea is the same peace that will calm the storm in all of our hearts that we too are troubled and anxious over. The Holy Spirit who distributes this peace from Jesus, He inspired the Apostle Paul to write, Brother Walter read to us this morning in the scripture reading. Be anxious for nothing. Does that leave anything out? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus gives His peace to His people who are troubled and fearful and anxious. He is gracious and He is bountiful and He is an overwhelming giver of peace. Many of you can testify to the generosity of His peace that He has given to you in your life. Amen? In the midst of some horrifying things that you have endured, horrifying things that you've encountered in your life, horrifying things that you've been afflicted with, Jesus, many of you can testify that Jesus has been very generous in giving to you His peace. And we praise God, right? But next, Jesus makes a very sharp contrast in regards to His peace in the world. Look at verse 27 again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now look what He adds. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Folks, I want you to know this morning that there is a blatant contrast between the world, what the world tries to give to you in peace, and the way that Jesus gives you peace. I need us to understand this. I need to understand this, but I'm saying it this morning. We need to understand that these two things are not the same. They are not the same. They're not even close. And yet this is often the peace that we are tempted to seek every day. John Gill in his commentary said, the peace that Christ gives is true, solid, and substantial. The peace the world gives, the men and the things of it give, is false. He goes on to say, the peace of the world is at best an external one. But the peace of Christ that He gives is internal. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? The peace the world offers, he says, is a very transient, unstable, and short-lived one. But the peace that Christ gives is lasting and durable. The peace of the world will not support under the troubles of it. But the peace which Christ gives cheerfully carries His people through all the difficulties and exercises of His life. Many of you right now can say amen to that. And it's a slow, meaningful amen, because you know the weight of the things that you have faced in your life. John Gill goes on to say, the world gives feignedly, Christ gives heartily. The world gives peace for its own advantage, Christ gives peace for His people's sake. The world gives its peace to the men of it, to the ungodly, but not to the godly, because they hate us. Christ gives His peace not to the wicked, for there is no peace to them, but to the saints, the excellent in the earth. Jesus says the peace He gives, He does not give as the world gives. It is altogether separate and different from the world. Listen, the world did not create your soul. Think about this. The world did not create your soul. The world did not create your conscience. The world did not create your heart. The world did not create your affections. If the world did not create you, if the world did not create your soul, if the world did not create your conscience, if the world did not create your most meaningful desire, then why would you go to the world for peace? Why would you go to the world for peace to try and calm your soul when it is troubled? You see, the world can only offer a quick pseudo-peace that does not truly satisfy, and it will never, ever sustain you. It will not take away your worries. It will not take away your troubled heart. It will not satisfy your conscience. It will not satisfy the longing of your desires, your deep desires. Never will it. So whether it is the alcohol at the end of the day, the drugs that keep feeding your anxiety, the lust-filled cravings of another video, the anticipation of checking social media, the food that takes away your pain, or any other indulgence that the world keeps giving you, all of it is counterfeit to the real peace that Jesus has and Jesus gives to you. See, this is why so many of those that we love indulge themselves with the world's peace, because they have never tasted of Jesus' peace. They have never been satisfied from His peace. They just keep indulging themselves on the placebos of the world, thinking this right here will finally take away my problems, take away my anxiety, take away my pain, take away my disturbed conscience, my troubled heart. This right here, this might make us happy, y'all. So let's go do this together, even as a family, right? Let's get that thing. Because that thing right there will make us happy. Do you hear what Jesus says to His disciples? Jesus says to them, I don't give like the world gives. I don't. You see, Jesus gives a peace that is divine. He gives a peace that actually takes away the sting of the trials that we face. He gives a peace that is sustainable. He gives a peace that endures. He gives a peace that goes beyond what you're even able to comprehend. Like, God, I have absolutely no understanding of what I'm going through right now, or why I'm going through this, and why this is happening to me. But I have peace. People look at you, and they wonder, how in the world are you able to go through this? Now you can tell them, because Jesus gives me not just peace. Jesus gives me His peace. Let me ask you again, what kind of peace do you think He has? Because that's what He's giving to you. Jesus says, I don't give like the world gives. That ought to right now cause us all to think, man, how is the world giving me peace? Peace, right? How is the world giving me peace versus how Jesus is giving me peace? I have to understand this. I have to know this, right? I have to figure this out. Jesus gives a peace that is not only temporal, but the trials that we face in life now. But more importantly, He gives a peace that is eternal for the God that we will face one day. Did you hear that? Not only does Jesus give you a peace that is temporal right now for every moment of your life, for every affliction, for every trial, for every joy even. Paul said, I had to learn contentment in the things that I had that were a lot, and things when I didn't have any, right? So, I mean, there has to be a contentment. There has to be a peace even when we have a lot. And God blesses us, some of us, with a lot. And there has to be peace with that. And so Jesus gives us peace. Even with those who are blessed with many things of the world's goods, right? But not only does He give us a peace that's temporal in the day-to-day life right now, but guys, He's going to give us a peace. He gives us peace now for the eternal one day when we stand before God. This is why Jesus then commands His disciples yet again at the end of verse 27. Look at it again. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's why He could say that even yet again, right? Because He just unpacked and explained to them why they don't have to be troubled, why they don't have to be fearful. Peace, I leave. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. When Jesus actually gives us His peace, we then follow the commands that He gives in Scripture, which is once again Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, when we have Jesus' peace and we obey His instruction, then there is no room in the heart and there's no room in the conscience for anxiety and worry. You understand? When we have His peace and we follow His instruction and we obey His commands, right? Like Philippians 4, there's no room in the conscience and there's no room in the heart for worry and anxiety. He pushes it away. And not only does He take it away, He says He actually guards it and protects it. There's only room in the mind and the heart when we do not obey His instruction for worry and anxiety and distrust and fear. All those things that I listed earlier. When we do obey His commands, He gives peace that is incomprehensible. And that divine, sovereign peace guards and protects our hearts and minds. This is true this morning. And many of you right now can testify to this truth, right? You can. You can give a testimony right now of many things that you have endured, you've been afflicted with, and you have gone through, that you can testify right now of His sustaining peace in your life. But unfortunately, you have also encountered the opposite as well, right? You have been troubled and fearful, and instead of obeying Jesus, you sought the world's pseudo-peace. You rested on what the world gave you, and then you found that there was no real rest and peace at all, right? For those of you who have never tasted and never feasted of Jesus' peace, aren't you exhausted of not having it? Aren't you exhausted of not having Jesus' peace? Aren't you tired of striving by constantly indulging your life on the world's pseudo-peace? Jesus said to His disciples 2,000 years ago, and the same is true today, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Listen, Jesus desires for His to give to His disciples not just simply peace. But we have to make that distinguishment this morning. He's not just offering and giving them peace, but He's giving them His peace. That really has to like transcend your mind right now. When you think about Jesus giving you His peace, does anything really ever make Jesus like shake in His boots? There's only one thing that I can think of. And that was the Father's wrath that was poured out on him. The Bible tells us that he had a troubled heart over that. He was troubled when he thought about the suffering and the wrath of the Father being unleashed on him. Outside of that, do you think men and women and creation trouble him? Right now, as the exalted King sitting at the right hand of his Father, who is ruler and reigner of all the universe, do you think that there's anything that troubles his heart? Do you think that there's anything that robs him of peace right now? And this is the peace Jesus says that he is going to leave with you. Think about what kind of peace that a sovereign, eternal, divine, infinite, and immutable God possesses. Because this is the peace, and even greater than we can imagine and comprehend, that he gives to his disciples. We must learn quickly the altogether difference between what the world tries to give to us in its pseudo-peace and what Jesus gives to us, his peace. Because there is an eternal difference between the two. Jesus' disciples had absolutely no reason to be troubled and fearful at what lies ahead in Jesus' departure. He leaves them and gives them his peace. Peace with God and peace from God. And my prayer for us this morning is that we too will rest in his peace today. Amen. Right now, this morning, I don't know what you're facing. I know sometimes whenever I'm sitting where you are and I'm listening to a sermon, sometimes when I'm sitting there, yes, I'm guilty. I'm thinking about Monday. I'm thinking about everything that I have to do on Monday. I'm thinking about, man, the pressures of work, my other job. I'm thinking about the pressures of family. I'm thinking about the pressures of finances. I'm thinking about all these pressures that we face, right? These things don't, like, not thank pastors. What are you thinking about this morning that's weighing you down? I mean, Jesus didn't say that you will not be afflicted. He didn't say that you will not face troubles. He did not say that you will be saved from the trials. Matter of fact, he told just the opposite, didn't he? Will encounter various trials, many kinds. And then he tells his disciples, take courage. I have overcome the world. May we too rest in his peace today. May we seek his peace and shun the world's counterfeit peace. I have a feeling that when you take this seriously, hopefully you do today, that you actually consider what the difference is between how the world gives you things and how Jesus gives you things. I think whenever you're able to categorize those, I think you're going to start living a life where you shun the things of the world more. And you start pursuing Christ more. You see, the devil does not want you to consider those two things. He's really good at kind of blending those things. Even for some of us who are pretty mature in our faith, there's still those things that are blended, right? And we still try to find peace and joy and happiness. And some of those things that can kind of sort of be Christian, but are really promises, pseudo-promises from the world that are trying to rob us of our true joy and happiness and peace that Jesus gives. Will you be wise? Will you be discerning in that challenge? And Lord willing, we can talk about it together this Wednesday. Do you have peace with God this morning? Do you have peace with God? If you don't have peace with God, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to Christ. Come to him. Receive the gospel. receive what Jesus has done on your behalf to give you peace with God. You don't have to live in hostility, in anger, in bitterness, in rage under the wrath of God anymore. Jesus has made a way for you to be at one and at peace with God. But my brothers and sisters this morning, those of you who have made peace with God, do you have peace this morning from God? Or is your life really top-heavy with a lot of worldly promises that aren't satisfying? Today can be that day where you truly find peace too, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, stop striving with the world and start receiving what Jesus gives, and He gives His peace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank You for Your word that instructs us and gives us good counsel for our lives. God, we know this morning that it is Your Son, by His word, that created our very soul. He created our conscience. He created our mind. He created our heart, our affections, our desire. We know that it is only Jesus who can satisfy the conscience, the desire, and the soul of every man, woman, and child. God, we pray for ourselves this morning as Your children. God, help us to look to Christ this morning. God, we pray for those in the room this morning who may not be Your children. God, we pray that You would grant them faith and repentance unto Christ, that You would save them. God, that they would come to embrace the gospel of Jesus and find His peace to be overwhelming and incomprehensible. God, help us to no longer strive with the world in this way, but to be discerning and wise between what they give and what Jesus gives to us. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit this morning will take the ministry of Your word and make it effectual in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.